Hello, good afternoon. Before I get started, I would like to acknowledge Auburn University. I'm actually a soil scientist with USDARS in Auburn. And we only have about 7 acres there in Auburn. That's all the land we have. So all the field research we do, it's Auburn University's land. So we're very appreciative of that collaboration with Auburn University. Today I'm going to talk to you briefly about a short-term impact of winter cover crop biomass removal on soil physical properties. This is a situation that we're very familiar with our energy issues right now. If you look at the oil discovery rate, it peaked about in the late 60s, early 70s, and then it's been going down, and it's predicted to go further down into the future. And we know that our consumption rate it keeps going up, global consumption rate. So this is an issue we need to address. Another issue with energy is the energy return on investment. So this graph basically shows for one unit of energy that you put into the system, how much energy you get out of that. So for example, in the 1930s, domestic oil, you got one energy unit expend, and so you had 100 in return. If you look in the 70s, that went down. You see here the different color is actually kind of the uncertainty on these measurements. But you can see that it went down to about 40 to 1. If you look in imported oil in 2005, it went to about 35 to 1. Domestic oil in 2000 was less than 20. And this level, it's almost comparable to some of these new so-called renewable sources, too, of energy. So that this is an issue that we're facing as a nation, and the whole planet, basically. So one of the things that we've been trying to do as a scientist community, I guess, and industry and the government is to look at different sources. Cellulose production has been proposed to produce alcohols or different other fuels, too. Southeast, if you can see here, this is actually some data created by DOE. There's a multitude of different species that we could plant to produce cellulose. One of these factors here is precipitation. If you can see here in the southeast, we get a lot of precipitation. Usually in Alabama, we get about 50 to 60 inches of rain a year. The other contributing factor is that our winter temperatures are high enough that we can still produce some biomass and plant growth. However, because of that too, we have the issue that we have a lot of soils that are ultisol, soils that are don't want to say really degraded, but a lot more challenging in managing compared to soils in the Midwest, for example. Another factor here is that there's been decades of conventional tillage. So for that reason, we've been working a lot with non-inversion tillage. These soils in the southeast have a lot of natural occurring compacted layers. And so we try to address that with non-inversion tillage, try to keep organic matter in there, try to keep that soil structure as intact as possible. Key component that brings us to the cover crops, and that's another key component in our conservation ag systems in the southeast in Alabama. Increase the residue production, they protect the soil from erosion, plant available water increase due to the benefit to soil physical properties, and the mulch effect of that cover crop on the soil surface. Basically rotation, nutrient cycling, weed control, all those good things that cover crops do. Real quick, I'm going to go down to the bottom. One of the advantages, if we were to look at winter cover crops as a source of biomass for cellulose production, is that it's the harvest time. Logistically, it's actually producing biomass in the spring, where most of the other feedstocks are actually harvested in the fall. So that, logistically, it's an advantage. The other thing is that the winter cover crop will still provide an environmental service. It will still protect that soil during the winter months from erosion. So with that in mind, we decided to look at this aspect of cover crops, winter cover crops. In this case, we're looking at rye, cereal rye, and look at its potential for biomass source. And also, we wanted to look at the short-term impact of this rye harvest on physical properties and productivity. This project I'd like to mention real quick is part of REAP, a Renewable Energy Assessment Project. This is a cross-location, multi-location ARS project. You can see down here all the locations involved, mainly involved looking at stover, corn stover harvest, but we're looking at all their feedstocks too. And with that, the research site was actually located in the Coastal Plains area. It's a Marvin loam. It's a candy adult. Like I said, it was we used a rye cover crop, a cereal rye. And we had three cover crop management strategies. We had a no cover control, a rye residue remove treatment, and then a rye residue retain. We want to retain this residue, and I'll show you a picture real quick. We actually rolled that residue and tried to form a nice mat on the soil surface, create a nice mulch layer. That's what we've been doing. And this is on continuous cone cotton. Cotton's still king in the southeast, although it's doing a little bit because of the corn prices, but it's still widely used. A component that I'm not going to talk much about, it's actually we're looking also at nitrogen dynamics, and we have four nitrogen rates of fertilization to cotton. You can see here when we're talking about biomass production, we're talking about high residue. Person in here, he's about 6'4 in height, and so you can see there's a lot of rye biomass out there. And we just use a small forage harvester to collect that biomass. And you can see a picture of the siding here with the three treatments. It's a little bit better picture here. No cover control there on your left. In the middle, the residue removed. You can see a little bit of the stubble on the ground. And the residue retained treatment here on the right-hand side. And like I said, 2 years after establishment, we started this in the fall of 2005. We went in and looked at soil carbon. We looked at total, POM, and MAG, the mineral-associated carbon. We also took some penetrometer readings towards the end there. Look at bulk density, hydraulic conductivity, aerial stability infiltration, and plant response. First set of light here I have, it's a rye biomass. This is before harvest, obviously, in 2006. You see we produce 6,000 kilograms per hectare, so that's quite a bit of biomass that we could produce in there. Let me comment here, we do actually put some nitrogen fertilizer in here. We put about 30 pounds of units of N in the fall. 2007, we produced about 4,000. What's interesting to notice here is that it seemed almost that the harvest in 06 affected the biomass production in 07. When we look after harvest, basically retains the same data I just showed you a second ago, but I just wanted to show and point out that there's still some stubble left out there in the field when you remove that residue. Not only that, we also have the roots. We haven't really been taking any root measurements. If any of you have worked with roots, you can tell that, you know that's a bear to work with roots. But anyway, there's still some carbon that it's put into the system with the removed treatment. If we look at the carbon and nitrogen contributions from the cover crop to the system, we have, over here on the retain, we have a lot more carbon, 06, 07, ton and a half of carbon per hectare. Nitrogen, one thing that's interesting to look at, if you look at the CNN ratio down here at the bottom of this table, on the remove, you can see that that stubble will actually have a lot greater CNN ratio. So that, you know, it's interesting to notice that most of the nitrogen, it's on the tops. And so you look at these levels too, and that's something sometimes we kind of have to deal with when we leave that residue on the ground. It's the nitrogen dynamics because of the level. You know, it's above the 30 and 20 to 1 suggested ratio for nitrogen immobilization. If you look at total soil organic carbon, on the surface here, 0 to 2.5 centimeters, we can see there was a significant difference in total carbon, with the retain having the greater amount of total carbon here, followed by the removed, then followed by the no cover treatment. If we go down a little bit deeper, 2.5 to 5 centimeters, we can see there's not a difference in at that depth between the no cover and the cover removed, but still the retain is greater. As you go deeper in the profile down to 20 centimeters, then there's hardly any differences. Basically, POM and MAC also follow the same kind of pattern than the soil organic carbon, total carbon. This is something it's somewhat controversial, I guess, is stratification, soil carbon stratification. But what we did here, we looked at the 0.5 centimeter where it was significant versus the 5 to 10 where there was no significant differences in there. And look at the different treatments. Let's just look here at the total carbon, and we can see that if you want to use this as a indicator of soil quality, that the retain would have a better quality compared to the other two systems, but still the remove has a little bit better quality than the no cover control. If we look at the aggregate stability, the percent water stable aggregates, we have that there was no difference between the remove and the, I'm sorry, with the aggregates, there was no difference between the treatments in here. We are not able to pick that up yet. If we look at infiltration, we see that the retain had a great infiltration compared to the no cover, and the remove was similar to the retain and the no cover. So there's some differences in there occurring. And this is, you know, like I pointed out, only 2 years after this. Bulk density, we see that there's a difference with the retain having a significantly lower at 0 to 5 depth compared to the remove and the no cover, and there's no difference between those. So we're starting to pick those up. Deeper in the profile, there's no differences. Hydraulic conductivity, and this is saturated hydraulic conductivity. We see there's some significant differences, but you know, if you look at the magnitudes, they're not that great. So really, there's no differences really in hydraulic conductivity. Scunding index data was taken in the fall of 2007, and we can see that there were some differences in the cone penetration index, with the no cover control having greater cone index compared to the either. The two treatments that had a cover crop. And so if you think about this, the main difference here is actually there's the presence of roots. It seems to be a contributing factor. Whoops, something happened here. I won't talk much about here, but basically all we want to see here in green in the bars is the total biomass from the cotton plants. We have 06 over here, 07 over here, and in the red is the nitrogen uptake. But all we see is that with the retain, as you have a cover crop, you have more biomass, which may or may not be a good thing for cottons. If you work with cotton is a perennial crop, and so it could be a challenge to manage. The other thing I want to point out here, down here we have the different nitrogen rates and cotton yields, that it seems to have a greater potential. Cotton did have a greater potential with a cover crop present in the system. And just to summarize here real quick, we have 06, 07, and updated 08 and 09 data, and we can see that the having the cover crop in there did make a difference in yield compared to the no cover. This percentage is basically relative to the no cover control increase in cotton yield. So we can see there's some differences there. So in conclusions, I would like to say that the right red retain provided the most benefit. However, we still saw some benefits after harvesting the rye biomass, and so that there were some benefits from that. And the harvest of this rye biomass can potentially be an income source for farmers, and this obviously is going to be depending if market prices and if the market is available. It's all dependent on all those kind of things. And with that, I don't know if we have time for maybe one question, or that's about it. All right, thank you.